We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
A stage right now where there's not as many fullbacks.
Kyle Juszczyk believes that the fullback could be undergoing a bit of a renaissance.
Because he's doing a hell of a job making a comeback. So, Kyle, you keep going what you're doing. Juszczyk, you do what you're doing. Shanny, keep giving the young man the ball. I love it, Joe.
He's a bit biased when you think about it because he is a fullback.
The guy caught two screens. He carried them last week. Did you see what he did? Did you watch the game?
Oh, I watched the game.
He did.
I had that in the Raiders side by side. I didn't really enjoy it all that much.
Did you
much.
Enjoy his play?
Yeah, he's solid.
Thank you.
Might be time to reenact my fullback mountain bit and play that with your love for a fullback.
And thank you, text line K5. You guys are wrong, mean to me. You guys shouldn't do that. Not you, Joe. Not you, Dibs. I'm talking about the
listeners. There's an upset.
Yeah.
Wasn't us.
He covers the 49ers for the Mercury News. Cam Inman with us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, let me just start with an apology. I'm sorry you had to listen to all that.
Hey, now, first of all, Kyle Juszczyk, that guy, he made the Pro Bowl last year, so it's not like he's just, suddenly coming on. But
thank you.
More to the fullback point, I believe, I got Lowe, a question for Lowe. Did he ever appear on the cover of a media guide? Because I think about 15 years ago, the 49ers put a fullback on their media guide that was Fred Beasley along with center Jeremy Newbern.
Oh, Freddie Beasley. Yes, I was on many media guides. Yes.
Which ones?
There we go.
I just had to keep throwing those.
Like the Chargers just bypassed on Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson put you on it?
Do you want to go up? Dibs, are you usually always looking that stuff up? Absolutely, I've on media guides everywhere.
I just, the Jets had a spring special one, and you were on that one, the auxiliary media guide. It was paperback,
Just throws out afterwards.
It's
like a daily racing form. When the day's over, you just leave it behind.
See what I deal with, brother? Can you come in and help? You're on the show for a reason.
Lowe, tell them stories about Lambeau Field, because that's where we're headed this week, and I'm sure you played a couple games there.
Great pivot there, Cam. Great pivot. Now, help us out. Monday night, likelihood that we might see an upset.
Likelihood is not very likely. The way this team is so injury just riddled. Everywhere you look, I mean, yesterday the offense only had about three of the regular starters out there because everybody was hurt. Some of them are going to be able to play and are just resting injuries, but it's not a good situation going into Lambeau. It's a team that, they're on a three-game losing streak, and this last loss was just, I think it really embarrassed them. Just the look of guys' faces in the locker room right now. I mean, you lose in Kansas City, you lose Garoppolo, and you just kind of get that initial stun. You lose to the L.A. Chargers, you go, we should have won that game. So you're a little bit angry, but you lose to the winless Cardinals in the way they did with five turnovers is really unacceptable. So if they're going to have any shot at beating Green Bay in Green Bay, they just got to come out really angry. They got to come out very precision, no penalties, no turnovers, somehow fluster Aaron Rodgers, which you can't really do unless he's injured, which he is injured. So there's a chance, but it's not a good one.
And currently dead last in turnover margin, so the turnover statement, obviously a very apt one. Pierre Garçon has not necessarily been injured, but he's had a bit of a down year. Are the Niners going to make more of a concerted effort to try to get him involved in the passing offense?
Well, they tried to get him involved last game. They threw 12 balls his way, and he only caught four or five of them, had a couple go off his hands. He did not practice yesterday. He was one of, the eight guys missing, the Magnificent Eight. And he is not doing great this year, guys. But, I don't know what they're necessarily asking him to do. They did try to go deep to him a couple times last game because it's out of necessity. Same thing with Juszczyk, right? They're using these guys because Marquise Goodwin's been out. There's questions about how healthy Matt Breida is going to be in Green Bay, whether he's even going to be able to play or not. You're just scrambling, trying to find ways to incorporate players, and everybody says, look, we got to get Garçon out of the lineup and put some young guys in. Well, the young guys are playing. Dante Pettis is going to be out this game, too. So you're looking at a Kendrick Bourne, Victor Bolden, Richie James. Guys, that 2 months ago were not going to even be active for a game. are now counted on big roles, and they're going to be in a big stage on Monday Night Football.
Wow. Wow. Profound. So if this is the case and you see the cupboards are really bare and there's not a lot in there, do you go elsewhere to try to fill these cupboards? And if so, who's out there? Do you bring in some different bodies? Is some guy's going to just, hey, look, put them on IR? How do you see this Niner team rounding out to try to make themselves competitive?
Well, that's kind of the sticky situation, though, is these injuries are not season-ending injuries. These are week-to-week or day-to-day injuries, so they're not ready to put any of these guys on IR. Obviously, you have the two big injuries with Garoppolo and Jerick McKinnon going on IR with torn ACLs. But for the most part, they're just trying to weather the storm and get through it. There's not a bunch of great free agents out there right now. So it's not like, okay, let's go get Dez Bryant. Everything's going to be happy-go-lucky. Even at quarterback, right? They're going with C.J. Beathard right now. Nick Mullins is the backup. Kyle Shanahan made that clear. And they haven't brought in a veteran to back them up or challenge them because, one, Shanahan's offense is really complex. It's not like you're going to step in. Jimmy Garoppolo came, and they waited a month before they let him on the field. So there's not a lot of ex-Shanahan guys ready to come in and plug away right away anyhow.
Cam Inman from the Mercury News joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Excuse me. 11 games to go in the season. Between now and then, are there any really young guys, some unproven guys on the roster who could flash? Remember, last year, Marquise Goodwin kind of had this surge at the end of the season that got people very excited about the following year, which would be this year. Is there anyone that could do that this season? Maybe like a Kendrick Bourne, for example.
Well, I think we're all a little bit curious about him, but I don't know how much they trust him, per se. They didn't play him too much last week, even when the receiving core is down. I look on the defensive side. The only guy that they haven't really played is Julian Taylor, who was a seventh-round pick. He's a defensive end, basically the backup to Eric Armstead and Ronald Blair and a couple other, Sheldon Day. And I kind of want to see how he does, just because we're at the point of, if you're going to be 1-5, then 1-6 against the Rams, you got to look to the future. And some of these guys that are on their last year of their deal, you know they're not going to be back. But guys, they're playing everybody. The injuries are, they've created opportunities for other players. And as bad as it is to see the starters go down, the Niners are getting a chance to see some of the younger guys play.
Robert Saleh is undergoing a little bit of scrutiny now as the Niner defense continues to struggle. Doesn't seem like they do a lot of blitzing. Is that something that may change against Green Bay, or are they so afraid of their own back end, so to speak, that that's the reason that Saleh doesn't blitz much?
Yeah, just the nature of the scheme, they don't want him to blitz much, but they did down in L.A. against Phillip Rivers, and it worked with Reuben Foster. And Reuben Foster's eyes lit up when we talked to him about the blitz. He loves doing that. He wants to get involved. And they didn't do it as much against the Cardinals. They had Kwan Williams coming in off the slot. But I'd like to see Reuben blitz more, because I think you got to get him involved. You know, when they were doing promos on ESPN for this game last week, Richard Sherman was the face of the franchise. And that's fine. I mean, Richard's playing great and all. And he's the most household name on the Niners left. But this is a defense that really needs Reuben Foster and DeForest Buckner to be the face of their defense. And if they're going to be that way, they're going to have to do it on a big stage like Monday night in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers.
He covers the 49ers for the Mercury News. Cam Inman joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the insights. Enjoy the game Monday night. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
You as well. You as well. Now, last night, you saw one of the league's bright young quarterbacks taking on one of the league's aging dinosaurs at the position. We had this conversation back in the summer. Of all the young gun quarterbacks in the NFL, where would you rank Jimmy Garoppolo? Where would you rank Derek Carr? Well, 5 weeks into the season, how would you re-rank the quarterbacks based on what we've seen in L.A., Kansas City, and beyond? That plus the beef line next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our gorgeous listening audience, because we love you and because it's a Football Friday. Brought to you by Mancini Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef on 95.7 The Game. We got the beef line coming up in about 14 minutes. At 7:30, you will hear from Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, at 8 o'clock. But for right now, I want to revisit a conversation we had just 2 months ago, if it's even that.
we took all the young gun quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Eliminate Breeze and Rodgers, Manning and Rivers from the equation. Take the young rooks, second-year guys, and then the guys like Garoppolo, who are just getting their first shot. And if you were to build a team around these guys, who would you want to start with? We had answers 2 months ago that I don't think are going to line up with how we feel now. And that's natural because we've got five games of tape out there and we've seen quite a bit from Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. The question as we try to sort through this is twofold. One, where would you rank Jimmy Garoppolo now? And two, where would you rank someone like Derek Carr? Remember, it wasn't all that long ago that Carr was considered one of the young rising guns in the National Football League. And now there are questions as to whether or not he's lost it, whether or not he's peaked, whether or not he'll even be with the Raiders next season. So if you're sitting here today and the criteria is relatively loose, you know, 25, 26 or younger, you don't have more than a couple seasons under your belt, who would be the quarterback, the young quarterback that you would want to build around first, Dibs?
I would have to say right now it's Patrick Mahomes. You see the arm strength that he has, and the offense obviously suits him and his ability to throw deep very well. Five games is not a great sample size, but he's a second-year player, having sat last year and watched. What he's doing this year is eye-popping because he's basically a rookie, but also at just how dynamic that offense has become. So for me, you'd have to right now, and again, we did this 2 months ago, and I don't think anybody said Patrick Mahomes, but right now as we sit mid-October with him authoring an undefeated record and smashing records through the first few games, I think you got to go with Patrick Mahomes at the top of the list.
Lo, how do you see it? Would you also go with Patrick Mahomes as your guy?
No. The top two guys that I would take first is going to be Wentz. I like Carson Wentz. If this guy had time and you give him a line and all those different weapons and great running game, he's awesome. He can move the pocket. He can run outside the pocket. He runs better in space. He's not probably as fast. I think that he probably doesn't throw the ball, maybe not throw the ball. Doesn't have that arm strength, but I like him. I think he's more accurate. It'd be Wentz, and then Mahomes would be number two, and then probably three would be Jared Goff.
Here's where it gets interesting. As you make this decision, it's easy to fall victim to recency bias. I think most people would probably lean to Patrick Mahomes if you put a poll out, and rightfully so. We live in this fantasy football type world where we want big stats, big performances, and wins. And Mahomes delivers all that. Crazy numbers, undefeated team, personable guy. There's a lot to like there. Monster arm, too. Can throw the ball 80 yards in the air. But let's put some context behind it. Tell me the most adversarial moment Patrick Mahomes has faced so far this season. He has made five career starts this year. He had one start last season. Five career starts. What's the most adversity he has faced in his career this season?
I can't think of any adversity, really. I mean, the Niners.
Denver was the most. They were down. Denver was running the ball, playing keep away. At Vance Joseph, that's why I'm talking about this guy might get fired. They were getting 7-8 yards a crack, playing keep away. He was down by double digits and were able to come back. That was probably in a hostile environment. To me, that was, in my opinion, that was his most hostile.
They smoked the Chargers in week one.
Yep.
They smoked the Steelers in week two.
Yeah.
They handled the Niners in week three. And then last week against Jacksonville, it was cruise control. You're right. The only game with adversary was late. He needed to lead him down the field at Denver on Monday night. Big spot there.
Big spot.
So he hasn't been tested too much yet. And in addition, look at his coach's track record. How did Donovan McNabb play with Andy Reid? How did he play when he wasn't with Reid? How did Alex Smith play with Andy Reid? How is he playing now without Andy Reid? Reid is notorious for getting the absolute most out of every quarterback he coaches. He designs his offenses to fit his quarterback strengths. Love the idea of building around Patrick Mahomes. But I think to myself, damn, how much of this is system and who else could we plug in here to perform like this? Could you plug Mahomes into the New York Giants system and have more success than Eli? Probably. Would you have Kansas City's type success? Probably not. Jared Goff, similar situation. We saw him with Jeff Fisher. People were ready to run him out of the league after four or five games.
I was.
He looked terrible. He looked lost. Now, all of a sudden, he's second in the league in completion percentage to only Drew Brees, who's on pace to break the all-time record for like the fourth time in his career.
Amazing.
Goff looks like an MVP candidate, and yet, is it him or is it the system and the talent around him?
And I think you could say that about a lot of the quarterbacks. And you look
Carson
at
Carson Wentz as well.
And I think even the ones we haven't mentioned, like Jameis Winston, and where would he be if he had a coordinator and a coach like Andy Reid? And you look at other situations where players' growth is obviously hindered by the fact that maybe they don't have an offensive-minded head coach. You got a defensive-minded guy who is not getting the job done. I know Matt Ryan's not a young quarterback, but you look at what's happened with Dan Quinn there and Sarkisian instead of Shanahan, his production has fallen off as well. So to your point about system, I think absolutely Mahomes is a byproduct of being with Andy Reid, but that's the way it's supposed to go. You're supposed to take a young quarterback, put him with a good offensive mind, and have him flourish. So I think we'll look at the list, and we can go 1 through 5, 1 through 6, and all those guys, for the most part, have a good offensive-minded head coach who's going to get the most out of them.
Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think it's Jared Goff right now.
It's Jared Goff right
now. Like, you guys are building the team, so you'd be building with, you'd go with Goff over Garoppolo.
I think so.
All right, Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo?
That gets a little closer, but I still think it's Carson Wentz.
Now, here's the deal. If you ask me on that one, I would take Wentz. Goff and Jimmy G is closer than Wentz and Jimmy G. I think Wentz is way better than Goff. The rest of it.
Okay, but you still have those three ahead of Garoppolo, do you.
Yes.
Okay, so remember, when we had this conversation, myself included, just a couple months ago, Garoppolo ranked a hell of a lot higher. Now, Garoppolo versus, and I'll throw any of these four out there because of the rookies from this year, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was thinking Jared Allen. I was like, that does not feel right. All right, your four rookies, Darnold, Mayfield, Rosen, and Allen. Do you take any one of those now over Jimmy Garoppolo?
I would take Darnold over Jimmy Garoppolo, yes, based on his upside.
It's two guys that I would that you would say I could have. I'd be fine either way. The kid in Cleveland and the kid,
Baker Mayfield,
and Baker Mayfield and the guy with the Jets.
Sammy Darnold.
Those two.
Not the pride of Fireball? You're turning your back on the Central Valley? I just want to make sure we mark the tape, and if, in fact, you actually do turn here against your guy.
I might love my guy.
I like how you caught yourself there, because you had pretty much nailed him for turning, and then you realized before he could say anything, you wanted the tape marked in the event he turns on his guy.
You never know. It's a full turn. Right now, we're at a half turn. It's like, you know, he hasn't gone to the full Bell technique yet, but he's definitely turned his hips on Josh Allen.
Okay. When you're doing Bell technique, what it is, like, you know, you can't really necessarily, you're Bell and you make act like you're going to play
man. Do
you
regret teaching him that?
Yeah, I do.
I've learned so much from him, though.
He keeps using it against you, and I'm thinking, Lowe's got to regret teaching him that.
I went for three technique for a couple weeks. Right now, I'm on Bell technique. That's what I'm fixating on.
Okay, I'm not turning my back on guys.
Sure.
Just like this year, we talk about LeBron. I love LeBron, but I know he's not winning championship. The talent's in. So I'm not turning.
Like usual.
Pay the over.
It's really just a sports conversation.
Yeah, it is.
We don't have to nail each other to the cross every single time we feel as if an opinion is going off brand.
I just, you know what I enjoy doing?
Oh, my God.
I just enjoy explaining myself.
Sometimes you have to just sit back and watch this show from the outside, and you think to yourself, we can't get sentences out without trying to funeralize each other.
We can't even have a nice conversation. We can't have nice things, Anna. This is why.
You know what I've learned about this show? That we fight so much to be right. When we're just, I'm just giving statements. When, you know, it's not necessarily the fact. It's just we got to fight to be right. I don't care about being
right. It's very important.
Yes.
I do. I have to be right about everything.
Yes, we fight so hard to be. I'm just saying those two guys. No, I don't. Fresno State.
Sure.
I mean, Fresno, Josh Allen, fine piece. But I'm not taking them over Jimmy G.
I apologize for putting you against the good people of the Central Valley like that.
But I'm not turning my back on it.
The reality is, the best analogy for this show.
Yes.
The best analogy for this show is that we were all on some party cruise.
Yes.
We're all on some party cruise, and we were all drinking, and the party cruise wrecked, and we're all in the water, and there's a shark coming, and we're all trying to not be the slowest swimmer.
That's
the analogy for this show. No one's trying to be the best. Everyone's trying to avoid being the worst.
Absolutely. And I think that all of us...
Lowe's going to get eaten by that.
I was going to say, I like my chances.
See, the thing about it is, if we got in the pool, I can swim. That's why I bought a pool, and I was like, I want to show people that black folks can swim. I can swim.
That black people can swim, you bought a pool.
Yeah.
That was the justification for you buying a pool?
Because
a trip to the rec center, which would cost about 1/1000th of the price.
I wanted people to come over to the house.
Jump in the ocean for free.
Yeah, I did that too.
Call.
But I don't like the sharks in the ocean, so I don't know. I'm not really
good
with
that. Yeah, ocean kind of
scares me. Hence why the shark would eat you first.
No. Because here's the thing. You guys don't realize, I would grab you guys. And I would make sure that I'm in front.
That's why it's an apt analogy for the show. I would also try to choke you out.
Oh, you would.
Then you all drown. That's what you're not supposed to do.
And that's why it's the analogy for the show. And eventually, the whole thing, the ship goes down. Everybody dies. The shark eats everybody.
Absolutely. That's what makes us so unique. But I tell you what, we should now, don't you guys, doing this show, can't you now really, really sit back and say, wow, what New England Patriots are able to do just compared to our lives? Isn't it amazing when you see a team that everyone's gunning for, how hard it is to stay on top, where you're at, all the distractions, what goes on, and people say, God, look at these guys. They just go to work, all the things that are going on around them. It's friggin' unbelievable. Don't they give you that really, where you guys change your perspective?
Wow. The rare moment where we asked you a question that had nothing to do with LeBron or Brady, and yet somehow you mentioned both LeBron and Brady.
He's gifted.
Like 6 degrees separate from him.
The question was literally Garoppolo versus the four rookie quarterbacks, and when he was all said and done, he mentioned LeBron and Tom Brady.
That was pretty amazing, though.
And black people swimming.
It was not amazing. It was predictable, which is because that's how every segment goes. Lo, what do you think of the San Jose Sharks and their nice start to the season, even though they lost last night? Well, I got to tell you, there's this guy in New England, guys, and this other guy in Los Angeles. Jesus. I'm sure he's going to make a good point here, but I'm not sure I want to be around at the end of it.
Brad Burns is like the LeBron James of defenders when you think about it. You know?
If LeBron James grew a beard and he and Tom Brady made
lost
love and
a couple
created a
teeth.
Hockey player, it would be Brent Burns. His name would be LeBurns.
Nice. LeBurns James. It works.
It's low-hanging.
Well, yeah.
I think it's interesting if we injected...
Jimmy G has fallen off the map compared to these quarterbacks. Like
the Giants in their GM search? Where were we?
Well, if we injected Derek Carr into the mix, I wonder where that would fit versus the four rookies. Would you rather have... Which of the four rookies would you rather have than Derek Carr when we're talking about Mayfield, Allen, Rosen, and Darnold?
Yeah, we were talking about Jimmy G with those guys. Absolutely.
You guys were willing to build around Darnold before Garoppolo.
Yes.
You were willing to take Mayfield. Would you take Mayfield as well?
No, I would not. I would take Darnold and not Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield gets figured out hopefully this weekend, but it's coming soon.
It sounds like neither of you have Garoppolo in the top five. Look at how much has turned in just 2 months. Does it feel like a bit of an overreaction because, you know, he got hurt? And I get you have to take the ACL into account. Do we feel like we're overreacting just a bit?
Yes, but we overreacted the first time. So as I look at what we were saying before and we were ready to anoint this guy as the second coming of Joe Montana, we overreacted. So now that he's hurt and we saw what we saw from the, three games that he played, he had a penchant for throwing interceptions. Not all of them were his fault. We had a receiver run the wrong route, etc. But he wasn't quite as polished maybe as we thought. So are we overreacting now in the opposite direction? Absolutely, but that's what we do on this very program.
Begs the question, the next time we have this conversation in a few months, will we overreact again?
Yes, because if C.J. Beathard goes out and puts together some good tape, maybe it's, hey, you know, don't rush C.J. back, maybe, or don't rush Garoppolo back, maybe we found some of them with C.J. Beathard. So we'll overreact throughout the entire conversation. That's how we do it.
It's Friday at 7:30. You know how we do it in this situation.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. This is the Beef Line, proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
I got to be honest, I don't want to deal with this today.
No?
I don't. It's been an emotional week. I feel like one more and just I'm jumping out that window. The Beef Line is presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality, available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods. Brace yourselves. Here comes caller number one.
Boy, do I have some beef for you. Lo, I need you to take your head out of LeBron. It's Thursday in the morning. 15 minutes haven't even passed, and you're over here all ecstatic about the Lakers. Oh, I love the Lakers. Oh, the Lakers are so flashy. The Warriors, yeah, the Warriors are okay. They're the Warriors. Stop kissing LeBron and realize it's over for him. He ain't going to do no more.
Wow.
Whoa. Did that make you feel better? Strong.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now.
Thing about it is I'm not on the Lakers. What is everyone saying? I didn't say they're freaking the one seed or two seed or three seed. I never did any of that. What are they talking about?
I think because you're a fan of LeBron and you respect his talents and because you talk about it somewhat frequently, people just associate that with you loving LeBron and liking the Lakers, you know, they
and maybe
the
sniffing
dots.
LeBron.
Don't you guys agree? Look what the ratings were when they played. It's not just me. It's not me.
That's everyone.
Yeah, but there was two teams on the floor. I think the Beefline caller was just asking for you to maybe recognize the team that's won three of the last four titles. That's all.
I said the greatest team ever. I'm putting them up there. What am I doing? What am I not saying about the Warriors, buddy? Can you please come back on that Beefline?
I like his Townie impersonation off the top, though. Have I got a Beefline for you?
It was nicely done.
Pretty
was
strong.
It? Was it Billy Joe?
I'm just glad it wasn't me. The only thing I hope for with all of this is that the first one's not me. I think it gets off on the wrong foot. So I was glad it was you. Call number two.
My beef is with you, John Gruden. Chucky, or should I say Sucky, you're not going to run the ball with Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line? You're insane. You want to know what the definition of insanity is? Not running the ball with Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line. You might as well, as Derek Carr is throwing that interception, turn around to the Raider fans in the stands and flip the bird with both hands.
Dang, both hands. That's a quality Beefline call, because that was frustrating for Raider fans.
I'm surprised, to be completely honest with you, that we don't take more calls from Raider fans based on what they've seen this season. I'm starting to get the sense, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm starting to get the sense the fan base is checking out a bit on the team this year. You've got so much negativity surrounding the move to Vegas. Whether or not people are thrilled with some of the decisions made regarding the broadcast, the performance on the field, trading away one of the team's best players.
No bathrooms in the Bart lot, for example.
How much abuse can you take as a fan before you start to become, desensitized, immune to it? I mean, you would figure we would get more, but I think Raider fans are getting to the point where they've had enough.
People are over it, especially local fans. I mean, this is how you're going to leave us. You're going to leave us with this kind of product. And we were all supposed to get so excited for Marshawn Lynch, the Oakland homebred guy playing for the Raiders, yet you don't give him the ball when everyone expects you to give him the ball. So it's just kind of another backhanded glove slap to the face.
Next up.
This your boy, Isaac Side D. My beef is with the New York Football Giants. Hey, you guys pick up the phone and call Colin Kaepernick. Eli Manning, he's horrible. I tell you, the guy's an idiot. He's a racist, in the words of Greg Papa. Stop it. Hey, call Colin Kaepernick. New York media, we love him. His girlfriend's a part of the media in New York. Win-win situation. I don't understand. What are you waiting for? This call shouldn't even be happening right now. I tell you, you guys need to call him.
That's really good, Beefline call. Really, really good.
It is, and I'll tell you what, look at how badly the New York Giants have managed their quarterback situation over the last year plus. Eli Manning went into that season last year. It was a bit of a struggle, everything that was taking place, and then Ben McAdoo decides to make a switch at quarterback like a week before Manning was going to break the record. There's all this chaos. McAdoo loses the media, he loses the fan base, he loses the team. He then reinstalls Manning to try to salvage some of it. He gets blown out the door. The interim goes with Manning the rest of the way. Then they don't draft a quarterback with the second overall pick. They go with a running back. They come out this season. Eli looks completely washed. The team's an embarrassment. And yet again, they found themselves on national TV looking foolish against the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, the Yanks got knocked out. The Giants look like trash. Bad time to be a New Yorker.
Well, at least you got the Knicks to look forward to, because they're going to be a juggernaut. And, you can always pin your hopes on fourth-round draft pick Kyle Lauletta. They did draft a quarterback in the fourth round, and they also drafted it, or they got a quarterback out of Monmouth. Not that Monmouth, other Monmouth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Alex Tanney.
If the Giants signed Kaepernick today, would they be a better offense by the end of the season? Could he do better than Eli Manning is doing?
Yes. And it's simple, Joe. Think about it. When you rush him, if you come up to field too far, you know what he's going to do with his legs. He's going to take off and hurt you there. So he's going to slow down the rush. He's going to make your offensive lineman better. That's why Mahomes, what he's able to do in certain guys, in certain offenses, Winston, certain guys, they extend plays with their legs and make their offensive line don't look as bad. So without a doubt, they would be better offense.
Caller number four.
My beef is with all those Conor McGregor fans. Your boy got what? Tap out McGregor. He got his butt handed to him. Absolutely smacked down, roughed up, red face, smacked in the face, choked out like a little pansy, and then all you guys are going to cry on social media. Tabeek should have his belt stripped. He shouldn't get it. McGregor got McGregored, idiot. That's what he does. He's the biggest bully. biggest show off, biggest loudmouth. But guess what he got? A fistful of Khabib.
Nice update.
That was good.
Do you realize that the last two times we've seen Conor McGregor in a ring of any kind, not only has he lost, but we don't actually talk about him losing. He has become that big of a figure, and the events he participates in have become so circus-like and so global that we don't even identify the fact that he loses. Example number one, gets in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. A complete farce. Gets dominated by Mayweather. But the fact that he goes, what was it, 9 rounds? At the end, everyone, oh my God, he just, what a remarkable performance. No one could have ever done that against Floyd Mayweather. Not knowing that Floyd was carrying him and it was all a gambit, but whatever. Event number two, last weekend against Khabib. He got destroyed, but because of the outbreak of chaos on the floor and in the cage afterwards, no one was talking about how badly he got beat. His last two professional fights, he's gotten owned. He's looked terrible, and no one ever talks about
it. It's because of the sideshow following the fight against Khabib, and that's all anyone wants to talk about, how he went into the crowd. Well, what about the 3.5 rounds before where he basically owned McGregor? He could have ended him, not his career, but his life.
Wow.
He could have. I mean,
that earlier OJ conversation really rubbing off on
you. Yeah, you know, it's the influence of you two, I'd like to say.
He could have ended his
life.
I mean, he tried to break his arm, and he had him in the rear naked choke, which tried to choke him out. It wasn't like they were cuddling.
No.
They were. It's not called a rear naked cuddle.
Right. That's a different move.
Fire away with the next one.
Yeah, my beef with Steinmetz. Shut up, Steiny. Acting like you're the ambassador to good music. Like how you don't like rap music. Talking about how you played basketball at the YMCA and you played Division V basketball. Hey, do me a favor. Next time you're at the rec league, give me a call and I'll put it in your face.
Wow. What kind of music does Steiny like?
Have you heard of Ani DeFranco?
Yeah.
Very like folksy. He likes, I like a lot of the same music. I won't lie, but I also like rap and other types. But he'll hit you with some Van Morrison, a lot of Bob Dylan, the poet. So, not usually anything with what they call bass, a bass drum. A lot of acoustic. You know, it's pretty mellow. It's pretty hip and groovy.
That's one of the reasons why it's so great he and Guru are paired up. The show is
awesome.
It gets better and better each day because it doesn't like rap at all. And that there's Guru putting out the top 10 power rankings,
yeah,
offending everybody.
And he gives Steiny homework. Right. So Steiny and I were hanging out one weekend. And he's like, who's this? I'm like, it's J. Cole. And he's like, oh, Guru told me to listen to this. Turn it up. So Guru's giving him homework assignments to listen to hip-hop. It's great.
Like Taylor Swift.
There you go.
They're the odd couple, basically.
Is this the last one coming? All right, hit us with it.
Yeah, I had a beef, but I forgot because I got so pissed off of hearing his voicemail. I got a beef with this damn voicemail. The guy on the voicemail, get rid of him. I know you guys have him on the radio every now and then, but guess what? The guy's a schmuck.
That was like an up scream.
Interesting.
He's talking about Cody and the outgoing message, which...
Ted.
Did you change it, Cody, to accurately reflect when the time of the segment is?
Yeah, I did. About a month ago, I changed it.
We'll have to call in and hear it, because you know it's his usual monotone. Leave a call.
Thanks for calling the Beef Line.
This is Cody and the Beef Line.
For, like, the first 6 months of this experiment, we were telling people it was at, what, 7:45?
Yes.
Like, you
yes.
would call up, and you would just get bad information.
At least it's fixed now.
It's on brand, if anything else.
Couple of best dubs in today's Beef Line, I think. A couple of really, really good ones to earmark for the end of the month award.
Absolutely. Great news. Part of the Beef Line sponsorship deal with Harris Ranch includes gift certificates that we give away for the best beef of the month. Each month, we will give a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate away, available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Nob Hill Foods. So if you want to get down, the number is 415-403-8588. That's 415-403-8588. Best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30 a.m. Best of the best wins the gift card. You will hear from Steve Kerr in about 19 minutes at 8 o'clock. Dante Whitner at 8:30. Beat the Bookie at 8:45. Mike Brown, Warriors assistant head coach, at 9:30. Lowe versus Dibs at 9:45. Speaking of which, didn't Lowe pick up one game last night on the Thursday Nighter?
Yes, he did, sadly.
All right.
And as soon as that game started and I realized I was on Big Blue, the Giants, I thought, what in God's name were you thinking? And I don't take the Lord's name in vain lightly, Lowe, but
it's okay. I'm a friend.
I was very, very upset at my own selection because I knew the Eagles were better. I knew the Eagles would probably win, but I outsmarted myself.
Yeah.
I took the Giants, so I'm a little shook right now.
You know,
with my lead down to six.
You know what was pretty cool that before the game that I was like, okay, I think I'm winning this, is when Philadelphia, everyone came up, and the guy was getting the pep talk, and he goes, this ain't no road trip. This is our town. Where's this stadium at?
Wow. Train, baby.
Yeah.
Meadowlands ain't nothing. Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, man, all them stadiums are great for Philly. You just roll in there, you do what you want, you go home.
Yes. And I was like, you're right. And I listened to the crowd. It was a lot of Philly in there. Philly took that place over.
They were doing the Eagles chant at the end of the game. It's embarrassing. I've seen that happen several times up there. But I've also seen Giant fans come down and take over Lincoln Financial Field. Okay.
But not this current iteration of the Giants, because we talked about worse teams, and could the Niners or the Raiders have the number one overall? We cannot forget last night when we have this conversation going forward, because that team is broken. You've got
the Niners,
one of the top.
Did they win that game?
The Niners win against the Giants?
Yeah.
Whew, I mean, we'll see.
Oh, my God. That's a Monday night game.
Yes. The battle of the...
It's a Monday night game?
Yeah. Giants...
You can't flex out of that. You can't flex out of a Monday night game.
Can't flex out of that one.
Who's that might be the first time they flex a game to Tuesday and it loses out to a matching game. Toledo versus Northern Illinois might be that night.
More watchable.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, man. That could... You know what? There's something to be said when two really bad teams get together. There's something to be said about that. It doesn't necessarily guarantee bad football, although, you know, all indications point to the fact that it will probably be bad football. Giants versus Niners, you have to predict right now. High-scoring affair or low-scoring affair?
Low-scoring affair.
Really?
Yeah, it's when kickers collide, I think. Saquon Barkley looked great last night, but yet the Giants still find a way to not give him the ball, third and goal from the one-yard line. It's mind-boggling, Joe.
He might be. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking the Niners ahead of time because he's going to be beat up. They freaking get ready to ride that horse.
Barkley might retire like Barry Sanders by the time that game comes around. Like, what am I doing here? Foolish organization.
I confuse you with that, Dibs. When I start, you're like, what?
I mean,
you're like,
I'm blown away by that.
If you're early prison betting that game right now, you're taking the Niners?
Yeah.
I would take the Giants. I mean, the Niners might not have 22 healthy bodies by then. They might be playing nine aside because they've got nobody left. Yeah.
Bethard might be playing outside linebacker.
Seriously, you got so many injuries.
He's leading the team in tackles, right?
Yeah, you know what? He's the only guy making tackles. This really got away from us, but at the same time, it's also very sad, very reflective and sad. Least exciting team, New York Giants or San Francisco Giants?
Well, the San Francisco Giants. I mean, at least the New York Giants can get more than 3 points in a football game. How many games did the Giants score? Less than two runs. I think it was like 60 of their 162.
154.
It was a remarkable number of games in which they scored fewer than two runs. So I'm going to say it's close, but the New York Giants. Plus, you got Odell Beckham Jr.
You get the dysfunction.
He's headbutting the fan.
Oh, my God.
Stuff.
He's headbutting the fan.
Come for the bad football. Stay for the dysfunction.
Won't he put on a show? You want something to let... He will do something. You don't know what he's about to do. You never know what that young man is going to do.
Perfect segue.
Yes.
Perfect segue, because I wanted to talk about this morning.
Please.
Last night, if you're a Niner fan, you watched firsthand exactly why you are not going to dump a ton of money into the wide receiver position for just one guy. Now, you could spend a bunch of money to bring in two or maybe three guys. You do not spend this much money on one guy. Case in point, Odell Beckham this offseason signed a 5-year, $90 million contract with the New York Giants. He got a $20 million signing bonus and $65 million guaranteed. The guy's making $18 million per year. And last night, on Thursday Night Football, against a hated division rival, you threw the ball at him 10 times. He caught 6 of those passes for 44 yards. Now, this isn't to say Beckham is a bad player, because he's not. Beckham's a tremendous talent. But you only put the ball in his hands 6 times for $18 million a year. That is not good business, and here's the main reason why, because no one ever looks at this. When you're going to make an investment in a player, you're not just paying the player. You're also paying other players that need to be able to support him, all right? So at wide receiver, you need to pay the wideout. Then you need to make sure you have a halfway decent quarterback who can get him the ball. Then you're also going to need some decent protection up front so that the halfway decent quarterback has the time to get your wide receiver the ball. I don't think there's another position in the NFL that requires so much of an investment to get the most out of the original investment. Flip side, look at Khalil Mack. Now, you gave him a lot of money as a Chicago Bears organization, but how much do you need to invest around Khalil Mack to get the most out of him? Look at the Raider team he played for. Gruden said, well, we weren't that great on defense last year anyway. Well, look at how you perform as a pass rush without him. That's the indicator, as well as the fact that on a mediocre defense, and I think we'd all agree, he found a way to win Defensive Player of the Year and rack up double-digit sacks every season. If you dedicate a lot of money to Khalil Mack, you don't need to go out and spend tons of money on defensive tackles, corners, linebackers, and safeties to make sure you get the most out of Mack. You give him a ton of money and you set him loose. You give a quarterback a ton of money and you want to protect him and give him weapons, but a great quarterback can still find a way with average talent to get some wins. Aaron Rodgers has been doing it for years in Green Bay. In New York, Odell Beckham costs $18 million a year, but it doesn't matter if you don't have a quarterback getting him the football. So now the Giants need to invest in the quarterback position. And you're seeing that even if Eli can get him the ball, he doesn't have enough time. So now you have to invest in the offensive line. The wide receiver position simply costs too much money. You're better off upgrading other positions and finding adequate receivers who can fit within your scheme. I get that the Rams gave a lot of money to Brandon Cooks, but look at what they're getting out of Cooper Kupp. Look at what the Vikings are getting out of Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
His overall deal is like $19 million total. Beckham is $18 million a year. Thielen is $19 million over a handful of years. And Thielen's gone for over 100 yards in every game this season. That's exactly how managers need to be thinking. General managers, that is. In baseball, you can spend willy-nilly everywhere. In basketball, to an extent, you can spend all over the place. Football, salary cap structure, you've got to be diligent. You've got to know which positions get the money and which positions you need to throttle back on. And the Giants have it backwards. They're paying tons of money to the wide receiver position and giving up huge assets in order to acquire running backs when what they need are quarterbacks, offensive linemen, and defenders. And it's just, if you're a Niner fan, you do not want a high-priced wide receiver.
No, you don't, and nor do you want to draft one high in the draft, I think, either, because you've seen that a lot of times those guys turn out to be misses. You mentioned baseball and basketball, which I think is interesting in your argument, because those sports, a player doesn't rely on his teammates very much. In basketball, obviously, you need some guys to set screens for you to get open, but if you're an elite player, you can create your own shot. And if you're a baseball player, you're alone when you're up at the bat, at the plate. Yet Odell Beckham Jr. needs a quarterback, needs a line, etc. And the thing that strikes me as most alarming about the Odell Beckham Jr. situation is you knew he was a bad actor. It's not like once you paid him, he was going to come in and ball out for you. I think with Le'Veon Bell, the sense is if you paid him, he would come in and give you 100%. He wouldn't step out and be a, quote, problem. But with Beckham Jr., you knew that this was going to happen, yet you gave him the money anyway. And that, to me, is the most remarkable part of it.
You gave a A-list performer, athletic performer, that is a C-list individual, C-list, you know, actor. And you know it's not going to work out, and it's caught up with them. You don't want these guys on your team, but you want them when there's a minute left in the game. You know what these guys can do in big situations. You see them every Sunday when Big Ben needs a big play. He's got a guy over there that he knows that he can throw the ball up to, and he can go get it if you can get the ball to him. So I think that, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go after receivers because I understand what the kind of price that you would have to pay a lot of these guys. But there's times when these guys are needed. There's times when these guys can do things that other receivers, the average, can't do. And you're like, is that when winning a Super Bowl, those guys can be that good? I think a lot of it too, Joe, just like we talked about the guy from Minnesota, what he's been able to do, does he sell tickets? And these guys, we're looking at this, some of the stuff that the behavior that goes on, it's a lightning rod. It gives people something to talk about. We're not talking about this young man in Minnesota, Thielen, who's catching the ball and poke, what they're doing with the Rams. All they do is just get things done. They go about their business. Are those guys selling the tickets? I think we got it all wrong. I totally agree, but I think that you see Odell, what he brings. He's a phenomenal receiver, but he talks too much, a bunch of other stuff. But what do we gravitate toward?
See, I love that you made that point. I love it because Bill Barnwell from ESPN brought this up last night on Twitter. Extraordinarily poignant. This is a quote from Barnwell, but he's referencing Bill James. One of the smartest things Bill James ever noted was how bad teams blame their problems on their best players. I thought about that last night, and I was blown away by Barnwell's recollection of the great statistician and the godfather of analytics in the baseball movement, Bill James, noting how bad teams have a penchant for blaming their best players for their problems. Case in point, in New York and across the country, you'll see it today on all the national shows. Odell Beckham's a problem. He's fighting that dryer machine. He's fighting the kicking net. He's not putting up numbers. He's acting out on the sideline. He's going to the locker room before the end of the half. Yet, is that the core problem for the Giants? Management drafted a running back 2 overall when the last thing they needed to go out and get was a running back. They needed a quarterback. They've stuck with Eli Manning far past his expiration date. They've given out monster contracts to a lot of positions that are not delivering, like Janoris Jenkins. Across that entire roster, all the way up to coaching and up above that to management, the Giants have made bad decision after bad decision to go from one of the most stable, well-respected organizations in football to a bit of a laughingstock right now. And it happens. Teams bottom out. But to point the finger at the best player on the roster, to an extent, is a bit missing the point, a bit misguided, is it not? Sure, Beckham's got his problems, but he's still a baller. And like you said, even though he comes with the problems, people will show up to see him. People will buy the jersey. And if you give him an opportunity, he'll make a big play. And yet, so many people want to point to Beckham and say he's the reason for the team's problems, when the reality is the front office, there it is right there on TV as I say it, fine wine, W-H-I-N-E, on one of the great talking head shows.
Right. Normally, now, I would back what you're saying 100%, but in this case, he is the problem. And it's not necessarily what he's doing on the field, although yesterday he didn't do much. Would he have 6 catches for 40-some-odd yards? Didn't make many big plays, but it's the fact that he's bringing all these distractions upon the organization. So when they have media later today, the coach is going to be asked about what? Did you see Beckham Jr. leave before the end of the half? What'd you say to him in halftime? What do you think is going through his head? All these questions about not his play, not the fact that you did target him 10 times in the game, but his behavior. And Saquon Barkley is going to be asked not about his monster game, maybe, but also about Beckham Jr.'s behavior. So it's one thing if you're on the field and you're producing, like Terrell Owens was having monster games and he was going out there and running to the star and pulling out the Sharpie and the pom-poms and all the other stuff, but he was delivering on the field at the same time. This guy's not. And I know he's not the only reason why they're a bad team, but when you act that way, people naturally are going to gravitate toward you and put the blame on you.
Lo, would you want him on your team? If you had the ability to build a team as you saw fit, but the one piece you're going to have that you have no say over is Odell Beckham. You're going to have Odell Beckham, and now you can build the team out the rest of the way you want. Would you want him on your team?
No, I wouldn't want him on my team. I think that when reason why is I know he can win. I know he can win you ball games, but I don't know what he's going to do. We know what he's going to do in the bad times. That's the thing that just kills me. And that's the thing when you see so much talent and you see these guys, even when, you know, I see, you know, in Pittsburgh, you got Antonio Brown, a great receiver. Even when I see these guys tear it up, me personally, I'm not GM. And that's why these owners and these other teams, they're like, friggin', I don't care. That guy, I'm going to get him. He can help you win. And they can. They can do that stuff. But when tough times are there, which they're going to be there usually more than the good times because it's a life and you're depending on other people for your livelihood, the quarterback like you talked about, lineman to block, depending on – you got other receivers that are going to – that's going to have speed that the safeties can't just double you and bracket coverage you. You depend on a lot of other people to make your job easier if you're a dominant player. So I know in tough times what I'm going to get from that guy. He's going to be a distraction. It's going to become about him. He's going to be fired up doing all those things. And now guys' energy is not on the game. I'm watching this sideshow on the sideline. How am I really ready to go out there and play? And what it does hurt the team. And that's the thing. Certain guys have to be in certain situations for their success. They got to have certain management, certain coaches, certain types of deals in place for those guys to be successful. Because if not, they can be cancer on your team. And you look at this young running back, this guy's a good young man, a good kid. And are you afraid that Odell Beckham's going to be talking to him? Man, this is what they do. Oh, and then all of a sudden, he's looking at Eli a certain way. Then he's going to dinner, they're staying hanging out. Now you got it. Now your running back starts to talk back to the coach, missing meetings, doing all stuff. Because if Saquon wanted to miss meetings, Joe, if he wanted to be late, if he wanted to do those things, he could do it. He could do it and still play.
He's the entire offense right now.
Yeah, he could. But that's not who he is. But I'm just saying, if you start putting those things in his head, you know, just like the, you know, just like the serpent with Eve. It wasn't like she didn't want to do that, but all of a sudden the serpent, she kept going there, and all of a sudden those things start becoming her thoughts.
It's wasn't good analogy. Her thoughts. I think we were all thinking the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and then
it's just a matter of who said
Saquon
it first.
Barkley's Eve, and then the kicking net, I guess, would be the apple that that Eve so, so coveted.
We were all thinking it.
Joe, I got to stay true to form. Earlier you said, you know, I take an analogy and I go way around you. Like, where is he going to get back?
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Adam and Eve.
And Adam and Eve.
Those are
and
your three go-tos. Don't sleep on the serpent. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
And Kevin Bacon.
There we go.
6 degrees of Loneil. It all either connects back to Tom Brady, LeBron James, or my main man,
But you guys
JC.
Do understand what I'm talking about.
I absolutely do. Steve Kerr is going to join us in just a moment. You're going to hear from the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Quickly, I want you to think about this because I want to circle back to this after Kerr. You ever play in a college bowl confidence pool?
No.
Okay. If you haven't, I have to explain it anyway.
Please.
So a confidence pool is essentially, say there's 30 bowl games.
Okay.
You go pick the winner of each game. But you assign 30 points to the one you're the most confident in.
Okay.
So say, for example, Alabama plays Georgia and you're like, this is the lock
30.
Of locks.
Yeah.
Your 30-ranked team is Bama. All the way down to the team you pick with a 1, which is your least confident pick. Assign that to all NFL positions. How confident would you be with wide receiver? Right? The most important position most of us would probably rank number 1 is quarterback. Where would wide receiver rank on that list? And as you think about that, I want to say that in order to get legal here, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Yesterday afternoon, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr made his return to 95.7 The Game to speak with the great Damon Bruce, which he will be doing each and every week on this fine radio program, station, I should say. I believe on Thursdays, Kerr will regularly join Damon Bruce on Thursdays. Yesterday's interview was outstanding. Take a listen.
Coach, a pleasure to do this again. Thanks so much. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, Damon. Yeah, it's good to be back again, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Before we jump into the particulars of last night and the upcoming year, we need to start with a congratulations. Team USA naming you assistant coach. That's big time, brother. I mean, your basketball life is truly one of the greatest lives ever lived by anyone in this sport.
I've lived a charmed existence for sure in the NBA and basketball in general. I mean, to coach with Pop is going to be awesome. I'm so excited about that. He's really one of my key mentors in my life and one of my best friends now. And really looking forward to working with him. And then also Jay Wright, who I know from Villanova. I've known him for a few years. And Nate McMillan, I've known for a long time. It's really a great staff, good group of guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Without getting too jingoistic, what will it mean to have USA across your chest?
Well, the last time I did that was 1988. I was trying out for the Olympics myself. I think it was the last year of the amateur Olympics for basketball. And I went 3 straight years playing in the program. 86 was the World Games, and then actually, I didn't play 87, but 88, I tried out for the Olympics. And it was an incredible experience, obviously very different from now that you've got NBA stars playing. But it's different. You know, all of a sudden you're playing for your country instead of for your school or for your NBA team. And it's going to be very unique. And I've never experienced the Olympics firsthand either. So just to be there and to see the event and see the other sports, everything that's going on, will be amazing.
As I try to take this move to add you to the Team USA coaching staff, I look further down the road and I see a head coach in waiting, don't you?
One step at a time.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, then let's get back to the task at hand. Coach, I got a bone to pick with you. You ready?
Let's do it.
You're sending mixed messages at the beginning of the year. You're getting ejected for arguing with officials, yet your son is literally begging people to blow the whistle at practice.
Now, that's pretty good. How long did it take you to come up with that one?
That was this morning, sometime around breakfast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.